Chapter 9. Last Battle. As the Nautilus drifted, I carried on with my work. During our months at sea, I had made enough notes to write another book. I wondered if Nemo would let me publish it. My thoughts about the book were interrupted when Ned burst into the saloon. "Professor, Nemo is feeling sorry for his dead friend, and we must try and make him feel sorry for us too. We must beg him to let us go. Surely, even he has seen too much blood to want to kill us now." I agreed to talk to Nemo. Ned was going crazy, cooped up in the Nautilus. And even though I was still not ready to leave, I knew that Ned would do something desperate if he had to stay locked up for much longer. Surely Nemo could see that, and he would let my friends go. But Nemo would not listen to me. "No one is allowed to leave the Nautilus," he said calmly. "Ever." I told Ned and Conseil what Nemo had said. There was no use hiding the truth from them. "Well, at least we know where we are," Ned said. "Conseil has worked it out. The Nautilus is drifting past the coast of New York. If we try tonight, there's a chance of reaching land." I didn't say anything, but prayed for bad weather to change their plans. Nemo seemed to be mad, but I could not hate him. I wanted to help him and still save my friends. That night, as though my prayers had been answered, a storm blew up and swept the Nautilus far out to sea. Any hope of escaping to the shores of New York faded away. Some days later, the Nautilus stopped drifting and began to sail in large circles, as though it was looking for something. Captain Nemo came out of his cabin. He did not speak a word to me, and looked so pale and desperate that I felt afraid. Was there some new disaster? Was he planning something terrible? Were we about to discover the truth about his past? A dull boom rocked the Nautilus, but Nemo showed no signs of surprise. We went on deck and found Ned and Conseil already looking out to sea. "It was a gunshot," Ned explained. "A huge ship was speeding towards the Nautilus." "What ship is that?" I asked Ned. "It is a battleship, but I can't see what country she's from," Ned said. Then he leaned towards me and whispered, "If that ship passes within a mile of us, we can throw ourselves into the sea and swim for it." Another large rocket exploded in the water and rocked the Nautilus. Ned whipped out his handkerchief and waved it in the air, but it was struck down by the iron hand of Nemo. "Fool," Nemo said quietly. "How can they save you? In another minute that ship will be lying at the bottom of the sea. Are you going to attack it?" I stammered stupidly. "Attack it and sink it," he said. "You can't do that," I cried. "I can and I will," he said coldly. "Now the three of you must go down below." "But what ship is it?" I asked. "You don't know," Nemo said. "Good. It's better that you don't. Now go below." There was nothing we could do but obey. Nemo shouted at the ship as it came closer. "Fire away, you fools. You will not escape the Nautilus. I am the law and I am the judge. I have lost all that I loved, country, wife, children, father and mother. I shall have my revenge." "That's not all he lost," Conseil muttered to me. "He's lost his mind." The Nautilus powered towards the battleship, aiming to ram it. The two ships crashed into one another, and I fell to my feet with the shock of impact. The steel spur of the Nautilus tore through the battleship's hull, screeching against the steel as it went. Through the window I saw the ship sinking before me. Water rushed through it with the noise of thunder. Sailors ran in every direction. It looked like a human ant-heap flooded by the sea. I stood and watched, frozen with horror and unable to help in any way. Captain Nemo joined us in the saloon to watch the ship slip beneath the waves. When the ship had disappeared into the dark depths below, Nemo walked quietly to his cabin. On the end wall of his room, I saw the portrait of a young woman and two young children. Captain Nemo looked at them, stretched his arms towards them and cried. I knew then that the wounds of his past were too deep to heal, and they were too private for him to ever talk about to a prisoner like me. I would never know what lay at the heart of this man.